Okay, Michelle, we are now recording and you are good to begin.
Hello again, everyone. This is Michelle Marchant Johnson, your host of the Man Panel, and I am so thrilled to welcome you tonight to our closing event called Let's Talk About Men. I'm so excited about this event, and I have a wonderful guest with me who I will introduce in just a few minutes. And she is amazing, ladies, so you are in for a treat. So first of all, I just want to express my gratitude and my thanks to all of you. Women from all over the world have joined us for the Man Panel, and I want to thank you for your presence throughout the series and also for joining us tonight for the Let's Talk About Men event. And I want to commend each of you for your commitment to have the life and the love that you most deeply desire and to discover new eyes, to discover new ideas to help you do that, because obviously you wouldn't be here unless that mattered to you. And I wish I could see all of your beautiful faces, but I'm imagining you out there. And I'm so grateful for your presence. I also just want to express, even though they're not here with us tonight, my gratitude and appreciation for all of the men who have appeared on the series as guests, because what they have offered I consider to be a true gift. And I'm really grateful also to Allison Armstrong for opening this event and setting the stage for what I think has been an amazing experience for many women. And I'm really grateful also for so many of you that have sent me questions, comments, messages throughout the event. And there are so many, but I'll just share one with you before we get started, because I loved the way this summed up how I view this event. This is from a woman named Marsha. She said, "Thank you, Michelle. Kudos to you for putting together such a phenomenal panel of men who seem to have more pearls of wisdom than an ocean full of oysters." Wow, I thought that was really cute. And I do think that these men have shared more pearls of wisdom than an ocean full of oysters. So I'm really grateful for that. I also want to thank all of you for your enthusiastic response to the Man Panel VIP package, as this is the sixth event like this that I have done. I've done two Man Panels, but four other series, and more women have chosen the VIP package on this event than any of the other five events I've hosted before, so I'm really excited for you, because I know you're going to love it and truly believe it will open up new possibilities for your love life. And we'll talk just a little bit tonight about the VIP package, because some of you have sent me a few questions. But you can also get all of the details by scrolling down on the page you're listening to or going to themanpanel.com/VIP. It is available, but only for a few more hours at the event special, so you'll want to check that out. So tonight we are going to have an amazing time together in what I like to call a ladies' night in, and our topic is a juicy one. We're going to be talking about some of the highlights from the series, some of the key pieces of wisdom these men have shared, and also just some of the key things that my guest and I want to share with you that we have observed or learned about men. So before we get started and before I introduce our guest, I just want to give you just a really quick overview of what to expect. And I also want to invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and to eliminate any distractions, because I promise you, we are here to deliver, and this is going to be juicy. So you also might want to consider taking some notes, because I believe there are likely to be some things you're going to want to remember and to review. So we're going to go for about 90 minutes tonight, and my guest and I will be sharing back and forth some things that we think are really important and significant for you to know about men, and some of the key pieces that we've pulled from this event as well. And then we'll likely spend our last 30 minutes or so taking live questions and answers. And so if you do have a question, we've had a lot of questions that have been already submitted in advance, but if you do have a question that you would like for us to consider answering in tonight's event, please enter that in the chat box, or you can also email it directly to me at michelle@lovelifecoaching.com. And we'll get through as many as we can. We can't promise we'll get through them all, but we'll get through as many as we can. And do try to keep your questions short and sweet and concise. Okay, so with that said, that's our plan for tonight. And I want to welcome, and then I'll introduce our amazing guest who will be co-hosting with me tonight, and that is the lovely Wendy Newman. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everybody.
So just a little bit about Wendy before we get started. So we have a bit of a celebrity amongst us. Wendy is the celebrated author of 121 First Dates and has been teaching women how to attract and enjoy the relationships of their dreams by her own work and her own courses, and also through the work of Alison Armstrong for many years. And here's a big secret about Wendy, too. So here's something I'd like to say that has been a little bit of a secret for a while, but Wendy is currently in discussions about having her book made into a movie or series by major Hollywood production studios. So in short, I can just say that I consider Wendy to be a great friend and a colleague who I admire and respect, and I think she has amazing wisdom, and I'm just thrilled and happy to have her here with us for this closing event of the Man Panel. So in short, ladies, she is the real deal. So welcome again, Wendy.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. I wish I could get that introduction everywhere I go.
Well, it's all true. It's all true. So before we get started into sharing some of these things, I just want to say by way of introduction that, ladies, we are here to recognize and acknowledge that there are so many things that men could do better. And when we talk about these things and how a woman can maybe bring out the best in men or understand men more fully, what we're not saying is that the full responsibility for success and love and in a relationship is on your shoulders. However, we're here to empower you, and we're speaking to women tonight with the intention of giving you tools and resources and support so that each of you can know more about what would help facilitate you having better relationships with men, creating win-win scenarios with them, and bringing out the best in them, and hence getting many of your deepest love wants and needs met. So that's really just a little foundational piece that I wanted to mention before we get underway. And I'm going to let our lovely co-host, Wendy Newman, lead us off, and she's going to share something really interesting and important about men. Take it away, Wendy.
Okay, thanks. So I'm really excited to dive in with one of the areas about men that just, this question just plagues us. It just drives us nuts. So I want to talk about men and type and what they think is sexy and how it's different for men than it is for women when it comes to type and attraction. So you can get some relief, and also so you can stop putting your focus in areas where it's just never going to pay off the way you want to. Now, I want to first start out by talking about what's sexy about a woman. I have had the luxury and privilege of seeing literally hundreds, probably closer to 1,000-ish or so men speak for the last 15 years on various live man panels. I've literally seen hundreds of panels with four men on it, three men on them, talking about women. And it's our favorite question, what's sexy about a woman? So it comes up on almost every panel. And the first time I ever heard that question come up when I was new, the answer was, well, I really like a woman in cowboy hat and jeans, and then another guy liked her in a dress, and then the third guy in the panel says, you know, for me, it's self-confidence. And I thought, that's a boring answer. And then the next panel, right? Kind of boring. And then the second panel live I ever saw, the same question popped up, what's sexy about a woman? First guy right out the gate, self-confidence. I thought, oh, they're just, they know they're talking to women. I mean, they're not talking about a cute butt. They're not talking about the things I talk about with other guys, right? They're just being polite. Third panel, self-confidence. Fourth panel, self-confidence. Fifth panel, self-confidence. 100th panel, self-confidence. I think I had to hear it about 50 times before it sunk through my dense skull that really the most attractive quality we have is self-confidence. Our authenticity, our self-confidence, us thinking we got this. And men do have a type. Now, we tend to think that they have a very narrow stereotype, maybe blonde, long, and lean, or curvy brunette, or, you know, we have all these sort of stereotypes that we think men might fit into for their type of flavor of woman. But for most men, it's not that way. For most men, it's an individual basis decision that they're making. This was really, really hard for me to get, because when I first learned about this topic, I was about 35. And I had a new boyfriend who I just adored. And at the time, I was about 240 pounds, long red hair to the middle of my back, and I wore green contacts. And I knew his ex-wife. And his ex-wife, because we lived in a small town, his ex-wife was about 5 feet, 90 pounds, pixie brown hair, brown eyes, Italian. I mean, you couldn't get further apart if you tried. And we weren't friends. Our personalities were not similar. And he swears to this day, we are the same type, that woman and I. Which just made my head explode. Like, how could this even be? How could we be the same type? But they see something in us. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it is physical. Sometimes he's a booty man or a breast man or whatever. But sometimes it is physical. But oftentimes, it's the whole package of who you are, how you move, your essence, your spirit, your self-confidence. And the sad thing that men are pretty bummed out about is they don't get to say who they're attracted to. It's the computer that in their brain that says yes, no, no, yes, no. One older man once said, you know, when I was younger, I thought it was yes, no, maybe. But as I got older, I realized maybe I always meant no. I was just optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Where we women have the chance to have men grow on us. Now, they don't always grow on us, as you know. But from time to time, we'll get one that we're not attracted to. And then 4 dates later, ooh, damn, he looks pretty good. How did that happen? Right? So that doesn't really happen very much with men. If it does, they're the outliers. So that actually is really good news, because what you want to do as a single woman is find out, are you his type? Instead of chasing your own type, find out if the one you're looking at, if you're their type. Because if you're their type, as you age and things sag and relocate to different parts of your body, and maybe you gain 20 pounds or you lose 20 pounds, you're still his type. So the type isn't going to go away. The attraction isn't going to go away. Where if you are trying to make the shoe fit because you want him bad and you're not his type, but you're putting out so much sexual energy that he goes for it anyway, you all know what I'm talking about. If you haven't experienced it yourself, you've seen your girlfriend do it where she wasn't his type, but she made that thing happen because he was her type. And the problem with that, we can sometimes get a guy if we're not his type, if we do put out that wah, wah, sexual energy, wah, right? We just pump out that sexual energy and he can't not be sucked into that energy. But the problem is now you have to put that out all the time. Every time you're with him. If you marry him for the rest of your life, that'd be exhausting. And I looked back once I learned this. I looked back at my history and I could see for the men that I had to have where I wasn't their type, I never felt beautiful. I never felt adored. I never felt special. I never felt cherished. It just felt like work. So my big gift out of this conversation to you is what sexy is your self-confidence, and be looking for who is your type. I had a rule. Well, I'm not really a fan of rules, but I did have my one little rule, my Wendy rule, which was no matter how handsome he was, if he didn't think I was hot, he was no longer hot to me. I highly recommend it for you. What do you have to say about that, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really love that you're leading out with this, Wendy, so thank you so much for that, first of all. And I think this is really empowering to women because I think it takes a lot of the, what we might call, trying too hard energy away from dating to try to win someone over in our favor. And you and I have talked before, Wendy, about how women, and we ourselves have done it too, will spend so much money on getting the right thing for your hair, the right clothes, because you feel like that is what's going to make a man attracted to you. And there's something really liberating about knowing that a man is either attracted or he's not. You're either going to be his type or you're not. And, of course, you get to decide if he's your type as well, but like Wendy said, as women, sometimes that happens differently for us, where a man can grow on us. I've had that happen. In fact, one of my clients that got married a few months ago, initially when she met this guy, didn't find him to be her type. She thought he was a little too skinny and he was missing some hair. But he just kept showing up in ways that really impressed her, and she began to really admire and respect him, and she began to find qualities and characteristics about him that she found incredibly appealing and sexy. And, I mean, by the time these two got married, you know, she was telling me, he is, like, the sexiest man alive. And she's like, I can't even imagine how I thought at first he wasn't my type. But like you're saying, that would be an outlier for men. And
yes.
I just think it's really freeing. And it also can save us a lot of money, by the way, because you don't have to spend so much money on all of those kinds of things to try to become or be what you think this person might want you to be visually, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned it because it's what we all do. This is just our instincts kicking right in. We got to attract him, and then we got to figure out, okay, I think he likes me. How can I attract him more? And that's where the dough gets laid down, right? That's where you start spending the money on blowouts and new outfits and things like that.
Mhm. Mhm. And so I guess, Wendy, when we know that we're either going to be a man's type or not, we are free from a lot of the struggle that can come in trying to figure that out. We're going to know because he's likely to keep stepping up, wanting to see us or pursuing us, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And how you know that he likes you, that he's attracted to you, is if you've already gone on one date and he asks you out again, you're his type. Men don't generally ask women out who they don't want to also have a sexual relationship with. They know they might have to wait a minute, but that, yeah, they're attracted or they're not going to ask you out. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, and I'd like to also, before we leave this piece, because I know, again, Wendy, this is something you and I have talked about before, is that this also means that as you age or as things change or as gravity takes over in certain areas of the body, and I'm saying this, you know, because I'm in my 50s. I've been through some dramatic body changes in my life after going through breast cancer. And as we get a little older, women, we see those wrinkles. We see a few sags or bags, or we see our bodies differently, and we start believing that we're no longer attractive. But no matter what age you are presently, And whether you're in a relationship or dating someone or not, if you're his type, you're going to remain his type. He's not going to decide you're not his type because you get a little bit older or because you get some gray hair or because you go through some body changes. I guess if you turned into the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, he might fall out of being enamored with you. But in terms of your physical appearance, you're still going to be his type, right?
Yeah, and then this doesn't also give us all license to just totally let go and buy the, you know, the stretch pants that go all the way out as far as possible into 17 different sizes and never brush our hair again. And, you know, we can't
right.
take the Mona Lisa and throw a 99-cent frame around her, right? We want to do our best to keep being our best. And, you know, I'm not a skinny girl saying this. So we want to be healthy. We want to be happy. We want to be well rested, right? And we just want to be the best self we can be for them, whatever that looks like for who you are now.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And yeah, and that's a really good point. This doesn't mean we just completely forget about trying to be the best version of who we can, but the natural courses of aging are not going to take away our beauty. You know, it's so interesting because I've in my work over the past few years interviewed some couples that have been married for decades and years and, you know, some couples 50 years or more. And it's so interesting that some of these men will say, I see her as being even more beautiful as she was back when we first met. And I just think that who you are becomes such a part of your beauty to a man who really cares for you and really loves you too.
And a man, all men have such a wide capacity for seeing our beauty. We women measure it in inches and 2-pound increments. And oh no, that love, it's called the love handle, ladies. It's not called the hate handle. You know, we're so critical. If you could only see your beauty through a man's eyes instead of through your inner critic's version of who you are, you would be blown away. You would be stunned. When we think we've gained a few pounds or gone up a little, that, oh no, he might leave us and now we're going to kill ourselves to get back down to where we were when we were 20 when we met. No. They don't need any of that.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I'm glad we led off with that one. This next one I'm going to cover, and it will be a brief one, but I think it was an important one. And this was one that was mentioned in one way or another by several of the men on the man panel. And it was said in a variety of different ways. I think Ken Bechtel said it most clearly. He said, men are not good guessers. But a lot of the other men talked about how they needed to have direct and clear requests from a woman, or they needed to know what a woman really wanted and needed from them so that they could choose to step up and be there for that woman. In other words, they want to please you, but they don't always automatically know what to do. And in the series, I shared this story about how after my husband and I got married, when we first got married, we both had homes, and we used to joke around and say that when one got dirty, we would move to the other. That's not really what we did, but that was our joke. And we ultimately sold both of those homes and bought a house together. And after we'd been married for a while, the home was getting a little dirty and cluttery, and the bathrooms needed cleaned and et cetera, and it was starting to make me feel really anxious. And so one Saturday morning, I got this big bee in my bonnet, and I just turned into this cleaning dynamo and went crazy all over the house. I mean, I was just tearing the place apart, getting it clean. It was going to be sparkling by the time I was done. Well, in the back of my mind, I had this thought that was, okay, he, my husband, is going to see me doing this, and he's going to join right in and enthusiastically join me in this project that I've taken on, and he's going to be cleaning the house like a dynamo with me in a matter of minutes. Well, guess what? None of that happened. And in fact, I think he was just kind of shocked and stunned, and I was kind of giving him the cold shoulder because I was just so busy cleaning. And he, I think, was just getting out of my way, thinking, wow, I'm just going to steer clear of her. Well, I was getting madder and madder and madder as this went on. And then after I burned off some of this energy cleaning, some of this anger, I got thinking and I thought, you know what? I never even articulated to him or expressed to him the fact that the house had gotten dirty enough or messy enough that it felt uncomfortable to me, that it was causing me anxiety and stress, and that I really felt like we needed to do a really good overhaul on the cleaning to get this taken care of. And would there be a possibility that he might be willing to help me with this, because I would feel so good and then we could go out that Saturday night and I would enjoy it. I mean, I could have asked him and I could have expressed this and he would have very likely responded in a very positive way and helped me. But I didn't. I just had this expectation or this thought in my mind that he would catch on and figure out what to do. And so coming back to Ken Bechtel and what several of the men in the man panel said in one way or another, men are not good guessers. And I'm just going to quote just a little bit of what Ken said, because I think that he said it in a really good way, although I can't say it in his sexy masculine voice. He said, I would love women to know that men are the world's worst guessers. We're horrible. This is why hinting doesn't work. We don't speak hint. We don't know what those are. Here's my recommendation. Know that as long as you are coming from love, you can't be too direct with a man. We love clear, direct details. In fact, it's the number one thing many men tell me would improve their relationship with a woman. Just tell us what you want or what you need. We can't read your mind. Now listen to what he said here. He said, now I know there's this romantic idea that it would be lovely if we read your mind, but I promise you there is way more frustration from operating from that than there is going to be the romantic wonderful moments, because we just suck at guessing. We prove that to you every day. I invite you to embrace that. Know that about us. We know that about us. Don't wait for us to guess. Set everyone up to win by letting us know specifically, clearly, what do you need, what do you want, so that we can bring, so that we can have the opportunity to be the providers we're built to be and bring that to you too. So I love how Ken said that. I just thought that was very well said. And yeah. I think there are a lot of graceful, easy, elegant ways. If those of you that have followed my work for long know that I teach the G, which is G-E-E, system of dating, graceful, easy, and elegant. I think there's a lot of graceful, easy, elegant ways to ask a man for what you want and need, and the right man will be able to hear and respond to that. And then you get to create this wonderful synergy between the two of you, where he gets to do something for you, and he gets appreciation and acknowledgement for it. You get to graciously receive, and it creates this lovely win-win between two people. Wendy, what do you have to add on that one? Anything?
Yeah,
of course.
We could
talk all day about this.
Of course I have something to add always, right? You know, the thing is that I know a lot of women, because I was one of those women, would think, well, how stupid are they? They see me working my butt off. Wouldn't they know to pick up and say, what room do you want me to get? I see you on your hands and knees in the bathtub there. Do you want me to go start in the kitchen or in the bedroom, right? But that's a woman thing. That is a woman thing. It really is mind-blowing to know they're not being selfish, they're not being rude, they're not being lazy. They literally think they're being supportive by staying out of your way. They don't know. And I'm going to tell a quick story, and it's the same thing but a different cut at this, so you might be able to see it. Because men very much are in the present, and they're paying attention to what's happening, but they're not guessing. So let's say the two of you are on your first romantic getaway, right? You're in Carmel, California. You're wandering the beautiful cobblestone streets, and the big trees are there, and there's all these art galleries, and your birthday is in like 3 weeks. And you two are standing in front of this gorgeous art gallery with a beautiful painting that actually is kind of affordable, surprisingly, and it would look so beautiful over your fireplace, and you want that for your birthday. So you turn to him and you say, "Oh, isn't that gorgeous? It's gorgeous." And he's looking at it and he says, "Yeah, that's gorgeous. It's my colors, right? It's the colors that I love that are in my house. Wouldn't that look beautiful over my fireplace? Oh, you know, my birthday is coming up." Okay. And then you think you've done a sufficient job, and he steps out of the hotel later to go walk around the block where you take it while you're taking a nap, and you're sure he's gone to pick up that painting for you. And then on your birthday, you're disappointed because there's no painting. I'm going to tell you what really happened. He took you to Carmel, and while you were standing in front of that painting, he was so happy because what he was in that moment was in the presence of a woman he's just made really happy on this amazing vacation, and she's loving art and color and just envisioning how beautiful it is, and that's that. The end. They don't get hints. They just don't. Yeah, that's what I got.
I love that. I love that. And in that example, you know, that was a perfect example, too, of a woman speaking in hint. And as Ken said, we don't speak hint. And I also love how you described the deep enjoyment this man was getting from knowing he was providing this amazing experience for the woman. And that's a whole nother theme that we could talk about here tonight. There's so many. And just know, and we'll maybe touch on this a little bit, but a man gets a lot of satisfaction out of knowing that he brings you pleasure and makes you happy. And that's a great example of that. Okay, so Wendy, you're up again.
All right, so I want to talk about something that men are very worried about that often doesn't hit our radar. So they're cruising along as a little boy, just having life happen, right? They're doing what little boys do. And then one day they hit puberty. And when they hit puberty, they all of a sudden have a new roommate. A new roommate who's making decisions and trying to talk him into all kinds of bad ideas. And he's now having to wrestle his roommate. And one of the very first little puberty lessons he has to learn very quickly, hopefully without an audience of any kind, is don't be the creepy kid. Don't put it anywhere weird. Don't talk about it any way weird. Don't say something obnoxious or objectifying to the cute little girl who's also going through puberty. Don't be the creepy kid, right? So puberty, don't be the creepy kid. That's what he's got to figure out really fast. And hopefully he's got a dad or a big brother or an uncle or someone who can talk to him about how to not be the creepy kid. And, you know, he takes a couple breaths, gets a couple years older, and he's doing okay. You know, he hits 16, 17, 18, 19. He thinks he's suave. He thinks he's got this down. Right? And the whole time as he's aging and then he becomes into his 20s, he gets really skilled at not being the creepy guy. Because good men, which are the majority of men, good men know that there are creepy guys out there, and they do not want to be misidentified as the creepy guy. And it really takes something, because we're beautiful. Our beauty trips them, that we're walking down the street in a gorgeous summer dress. Hello. You're going to trip him. But he's going to get really skilled to not get caught looking at you. You know, they work at it, and they work at it their whole lives. They work at not being the creepy guy. They want to tell you something, but they don't, you know. They'd like to actually tell you, you look beautiful today, but they won't because they don't want to be the creepy guy. He thinks you're attractive and you're in a single bar and he doesn't come over to you. He doesn't want to be the creepy guy. You're working at the gym. Oh, God, he does not want to be the creepy gym guy. And then as they get even older, then their job shifts from don't be the creepy guy to don't be the creepy old guy, and then they die. So pretty much from puberty to death, they're working on not being the creepy guy. And we women get really frustrated that men don't approach us. We don't want to date online. We want to meet them in the real world, but no one even talks to you in Starbucks anymore. No one will talk to you anywhere anymore. Men, they should just grow a pair. They should come talk to me. But there's something that men know that women don't. Men are, they are really in tune with the only thing that sets them apart in your mind from him being a great guy that's going to start a conversation or the creepy guy. The only difference is he your type? And he doesn't know you. So someone really not your type comes up to you and says, "How you doing, creep?" And we have that automatic, ugh, because we don't like the discomfort of having to reject somebody. So instead of dealing with the discomfort, that instinctual discomfort to not be displeasing to somebody, especially a man, instead of dealing with that head on and wrestling with it and dealing with it, we objectify them. Creep. Right? If George Clooney walked up to you at the club and said, "How you doing?" Is he creepy? Probably not to the majority of you. So it all has to do with, is he your type? And men are painfully aware of that. So it's often why you're not going to ever meet anybody in the quote-unquote real world, because it's not safe for men, especially these days with consent. They know that consent has never been more important, and that's a good thing. But they don't want to impede your path and be the creepy guy. So if you're out in the world and you want to meet somebody and you can tell he's smiling at you and he is not making a move, it is not because he's not a man. And your job is to be a big, wide, friendly, how you doing opening for conversation of any kind. In other words, you need to let him know that if he comes and talks to you, he is not going to be in trouble with you. And in fact, wouldn't be bad for you to smile and say hello. And then to see if he picks up your hello and carries it from there. But good guys, which are most guys, they have a lot of attention on not being the creepy guy. What do you want to say about that?
Well, I think this is really, really important for women to know. And I think it lends itself to something that has been a big intention with this entire series, which is to encourage deeper understanding and compassion between men and women, and in this case, from women to men, understanding a little bit more about them and how things are from their point of view and from their life experience. And I think it's interesting, Wendy, because I think without meaning to, we can, as women, be quite unapproachable out there in the world. We're either looking at our phones or we're moving so fast and so quickly and we're so rushed, or we're literally giving someone the death stare. I mean, I have a client and she's so cute. She says, she said, "Michelle, I realized I was giving him the death stare." and you know, in her case, when she's thinking about things or she's preoccupied or she's busy, she kind of has a scowly look on her face as she describes it. And she said that if she senses that a man might be approaching, it makes her nervous. And so what does she do? She gives him the death stare. But even if you're not giving him a literal death stare, you might be energetically giving off a vibe like, "Don't even dare come near me. Don't even come close to me. Stay away, stay away, stay away." And it's sad because inside so many of us are longing for connection and partnership and really would like to have certain men perhaps approach. But like you're saying, with the way the world is now and with this deep awareness that most good men have around being the creepy guy, We do have to be aware so that we can create that opportunity or that opening where he knows he's not going to get his head bit off or be rejected if he should happen to approach. And I think it bears consideration when you are in the real world to maybe slow down a little bit sometimes wherever possible and actually notice people around you, which actually leads really nicely into my next one. Is it okay if I go there now, Wendy?
Yeah, of course.
So my next one is men like women who like them. Men like women who like them. Now this sounds, yeah, like duh, right? This sounds like that's really basic. And yet, besides doing the death stare or energetically being somewhat unapproachable or so busy or such a fast-moving target that a man would have to have on his running shoes to even say hello, a lot of times our attitudes, our thoughts, our feelings about men are much more transparent than we might realize. And I'm here to acknowledge that for many of you, you may have had very painful, difficult experiences in the past with men. You may have even experienced betrayal. And I understand that those negative experiences are real. But I just want to say, I would like to encourage you to be very careful about man bashing, you know, with your girlfriends or even in your mind. Because men can sense when a woman is able to see the good in him. And a man can also sense negative attitudes or beliefs about men in general. And if you're interacting with him in any way, they're likely to seep out in your interactions or your words. I guess a comparison might be just like a man who has misogynistic beliefs about women is likely to be exposed over time by something that he says or does. If we have really negative views about men in general, that they're all jerks or they're all creeps or all there's no good ones out there, that sort of thing, or worse, those kinds of things are likely going to show up in how we interact with men. Mm-hmm. And, I always think about the old, this totally dates me, but I always think about the old Jackson 5 song that says, you know, one bad apple doesn't spoil the whole batch, girl. I won't sing for you. I'll spare you that. But one bad apple. Okay, well, that's enough of singing. But remember that it's not fair to project what happened with a previous man or even men in your life onto all men or onto a new man in your life. So what I'm suggesting is, and I know these things, these experiences are real, but what I'm suggesting here is take with you, listen to this line, the hard-earned wisdom from those experiences, but leave the hard-heartedness behind you, if at all possible. And I'd even like to suggest something here. You're all willing to play with me a little bit. You know, this is kind of the experience beyond the experience of the man panel. I'd like to invite you all to join me in what we might call the Catch a Man in the Act of Doing Something Good challenge. So what I'd like to invite you to do is every day as you're out and about in your day-to-day lives, whether you're at work or whether you're at the grocery store or whether you're at the gym, wherever you are, I want you to start observing men. These don't have to be men that you're interested in romantically. I just want you to start observing men in general and all of the ways that they are doing something good, all of the ways that they're showing up for other people, all of the ways that they're showing up as being generous, kind, brave. I'm starting to sound like a Boy Scout motto here or something. But I want you to start noticing the men around you and all of the ways that they're showing up in the lives of other people, all of the things that are doing that are good. And then I'd like to invite you to even take it one step further, wherever possible and wherever you feel safe in doing so, just give them a little word of acknowledgement or mention it or appreciate him or thank him because so many men get so little of this kind of thing in the day-to-day life. I mean, a man's world is a competitive world. And men, you know, they might slap each other on the back in a football game or say, way to go, dude. But for the most part, they're competing against each other. So they don't get a lot of positive feedback from each other. And they may not be getting much feedback from their colleagues at work. People are known to leave their jobs because of they're feeling underappreciated even more than they're feeling underpaid. Men just don't get that much positive feedback. And I can tell you that if you will experiment with this and do it in a significant way, meaning that you really pay attention to this, you can start seeing evidence of all of the good things that men are doing out there, just all the little things. And it will help if you're struggling with some of your attitudes or feelings about men, it will start helping you to gather evidence on that side of the equation, to balance out that scale. Because many of you have heard me talk about this idea of how we go through our lives and we gather all of this evidence on one side of the scale, and we start gathering more and more and more and more of that to the point that we can't see anything else. So if you've had some negative experiences about men, or if you're experiencing some negative beliefs about men, this is something that can begin to switch your experience. And so I'm inviting you to join me in this. It can be something as simple as, you know, acknowledging the guy in the grocery store that's stocking the shelves and lifting heavy boxes to a high shelf. You can just say, wow, I really appreciate how you're so strong and you can lift those boxes clear up high. Not too many people could do that. I mean, can you imagine what that might feel like to that kind of a man? He would probably have never had anyone acknowledge him in that way. You would probably make his week. And I loved how, at the beginning of the event, Alison Armstrong posed some really great questions about how we view what men say and what they do. And one of the questions she said for us to consider is, how is this man being generous? And that's just one of several questions. But I think it's really powerful for us to seek for deeper understanding in our interactions with men and to notice them in a positive light. And so I just wanted to put that one out there. And I do really believe that men like women who like them. So if you'd like to be with a man, with a good man, look for reasons for you to like men. Look for things that you can really appreciate and like about men. All right, Wendy, you're up, my friend, if you'd like to add to that one.
I do, and it's going to roll right into something that I want to talk about next, too. But I just want to address any woman who is listening who is deeply, deeply hurt by something that a man has done to you in your past, whether it was your ex-husband or a boyfriend or even a family member. If what Michelle is offering is like trying to paint over something that can't be painted over because it's been painted too many times, right? You're trying to have something good happen on top of what inherently feels too painful or too bad. Work on getting that healed. And you can get that healed by being seen for the pain that you've experienced through your friends or through someone like a coach like Michelle or through me. You can get it from a therapist, but definitely get that piece healed, because otherwise you're going to go into dating with that's who men are. You know, so many of my clients will come and say, you know, they're all liars or they're all cheaters or they're all whatever. I went on 121 first dates. That's 121 different men. Not like a challenge. I didn't want to be a serial dater. I was just, all I was trying to do was find my man. That's all I was doing out there. I didn't have a lot of liars and cheaters come across my path. Or if I did, I got rid of them so fast I didn't even notice. Because you know the law of attraction. I wasn't calling it in, because that's not who men are in my world. I had a lot of really great guys that just took that long because I'm a really hard match a lot. of things that I required. So you want to make sure you're not attracting more of the same. And I want to talk about men and safety, because our culture says that men are like a pack of wolves, right? That they're dangerous. We got taught that as a little girl. Men are dangerous, right? Stranger danger and strange men. And it was all told to us for a very good reason, to keep us safe. Unfortunately, and there are dangerous men, absolutely. But it's not the majority of men. The majority of men aren't wolves. The majority of men are like a sheepdog. They're our protectors. And it's really hard to tell the difference between a sheepdog and a wolf if all you're ever looking at is their teeth. If you put a sheepdog and a wolf side by side and you pry their mouths open and you're only looking at teeth, they look the same. But if you're looking at the whole package, you could clearly see the difference between a sheepdog and a wolf, right? So mm-hmm. I want to add to Michelle's challenge to find out if you can also watch while you're busy watching men, right? While you're busy watching men be amazing in the world, see where they're making people feel safe. See where they're making you feel safe. And if you're ever in a situation, because by the way, it's a built-in mechanism with them to protect, that I can't tell you how often I'm watching my partner, Dave, assessing a situation that's going down. We live in downtown San Francisco, so there's a lot of crap here. There's a lot of cons and things and unlovely instances happening on the streets of a big city. And continuously, like almost on a daily basis, when we are out in the world, he has his eye on women. He has his eye on children. He has his eye on who might not be safe, and I'm going to assess the whole situation so I can swoop in if need be. That's who men are. They're sheepdogs. So if by chance you happen to be on a date with somebody, if you're single, and he's not being particularly caring or sheepdog-like, maybe he's had one too many glasses of red wine and he's being a little inappropriate or misogynistic or being a little hopeful about what's going to happen in the next hour and a half, all you need to do is look around if you don't want to handle it yourself and see who else is watching. Because I bet you if you're in a crowded restaurant, there's at least one guy just praying you look over and meet eyes with him so he can come handle this for you. I had a client once tell me, yeah, all I had to do is go pretend I needed to go to the restroom. And when I got into the corridor hallway, I grabbed a man and asked him if he'd come save me from my date because he was being kind of handsy, and he was on it. That's who men are in the world. You're walking down the path, and he yells over your shoulder, coming up on your left, because he's jogging, and he doesn't want to scare you as he runs up behind you. I was walking in one of the most dangerous parts of the city late at night, going to a restaurant, and I felt a little off guard because it was actually a part of town where a lot of people are unwell and should be hospitalized, but we just let people out on the streets now. So I was feeling a little unsure because I was around the unwell, right? And I thought, no, just do your thing, Wendy. Do the challenge. Look for where men are watching you. And sure enough, here comes literally crazy shopping cart guy, wielding the shopping cart, screaming into his shoe about Ronald Reagan, and careening through the intersection with the shopping cart right towards me. And I look around, and there are three men, none of them together, on all different corners, rearing their heads up, ready to jump in. So you just want to pay attention. Who's got your back when you don't even know it? Because that's who men are.
Mm-hmm. And that's who the majority of the men are. So there are wolves out there, yes, but the majority of them are sheepdogs. And, yes, we have to have clarity and be wise about safety, because women, your safety needs to be your highest priority in all of these kinds of situations. But having this awareness that there are a lot, that the majority of the men out there are actually sheepdogs and not wolves, I think is really comforting.
Yeah, I mean, just even when I walk into a sushi restaurant for lunch and I'll do a sweep of the room, 11 guys in the room, I know I have 9 protectors in there. Maybe one of them is looking at a cell phone and the other one has a wife and a baby that they're going to be first, right? But if something bad went down, that they're there, and that is the majority of men. But be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I know on the I know in the summit, one of the comments that Evan Mark Katz made is he said, you need to be with a man who makes you feel safe, heard, and understood. And that safety goes both ways, because men also need to feel emotionally safe. We won't go into that a lot tonight, but you to be with a man that makes you feel physically and emotionally safe, heard, and understood are definitely key fundamentals for relationship success and a really good starting point. And I do love this perspective, Wendy, and I'm so grateful that you brought this up, because I think that there's something really, it's just really comforting to know that we can go out in the world and that we're surrounded by the majority of men who are, I mean, they're ready to step up and be a hero if necessary, to protect people and women around them, even strangers. And it's really an amazing quality that they have, an amazing characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this next one kind of ties in with the last one that I said, that where I said that men like women that like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about this challenge that I'm putting out there to catch a man in the act of doing something good. And this one is, men want to be recognized and appreciated. And this was a huge theme throughout the summit. I mean, I have a hard time thinking that there was more than one or two men that didn't mention this in some way or another. And I want to just draw a little bit out from what they said, but before I share that, we got a comment on this that came in that I just wanted to share. This is from Lila. She said, I have a comment. I implemented one of the ideas I heard during this series, the one about a man needing to be acknowledged and respected. A man who has been working diligently on finding the source of a leak at my house for 2 years now failed once again this past week to fix it. He was very dejected and discouraged, and so was I. However, I told him that even though the problem is not fixed yet, that I had great respect for how he worked, for the logic he applied to trying to resolve the issue, and for how carefully he thought everything through before making another attempt, all of which was true. His face lit up like a Christmas tree. It was amazing to see the change and so quickly. Thank you for this valuable series. I learned a lot that I will be able to apply to my relationships with all men. So I love that someone is already implementing.
Yay.
Good job. Yay. Yeah, good job. Hooray. So yeah. Back to this idea about men wanting to be and needing to be recognized and appreciated. Men are typically recognized and appreciated for what they do. They are doers and they are action takers, and they are, in many cases, very logical as far as how to get to from point A to point B, and they're likely to use the most direct approach and the most efficiency is big with them, the most efficient way to get something accomplished. And that's not always the way that we as women would do it. I think I've used this example. Some of you may have heard this before, but if my husband and I go to the grocery store and we have a lot of bags from the grocery store, he will load himself up like a pack mule before he will take 2 trips back and forth from the car to from the garage to the house, right?
Yeah.
Even though that's just a few steps, because that would be inefficient for him to make 2 trips. And I think just first of all, an awareness around the fact that sometimes they do things differently than we would do them, but that they still have that deep need to feel competent. My husband talked about that in his interview, and that they need to be recognized and appreciated are things that if we have in the back of our minds can be really empowering, because as we appreciate them, it motivates them to want to do more. They feel successful. They feel like they're winning with us. They feel like they've made points. Many of you have heard me talk about how I give my husband hubby points, which are imaginary points, and yet he feels happy when he gets them. And John Gray told me that I can never take hubby points away, that they can always only go in one direction. The hubby points can only go up. So the other thing that I think is really important to remember about this is that men get to be recognized and appreciated typically for what they're doing, whereas in most cases, the right man is going to appreciate you for just who you are, for who you're being. And so this comes back to, you know, something that Wendy mentioned when she was talking about the self-care piece. When you honor what really matters to you, or you're taking good care of yourself, getting enough rest, doing those things that make you feel good, then you tend to be lit up from within. And this really allows a man to see you for who you are. And it's not so much about what you're doing as it is about who you're being, if I can make that distinction. And so what this means to me is you don't have to try so hard to do all of these things to win his love, attention, affection, by the things that you do, and you can relax, receive, and then you can reciprocate for what he brings, does for you, offers with appreciation. And this doesn't mean you never do anything nice for a man, but it means that you don't have to be intensely focused on the doing piece or the making things a quid pro quo, reciprocal kind of thing with a man when you're getting to know him, as you're dating him, and as you're getting into a relationship with him. Just you graciously receiving what he has to offer creates this win-win, because he feels great about what he's doing and that his gifts or whatever he's offering is being appreciated. And it creates also that kind of masculine-feminine dynamic that is more likely to lead to a romantic type of a relationship rather than more of a friendship or a more business-like relationship. So if I'm summarizing this in part, I might say men fall in love by doing when what they are doing is received, recognized, and appreciated by a woman. That's part of what creates that romantic kind of experience for a man. So when I work with my clients in my programs or one-on-one coaching, this concept of receptivity, or what I like to call graciously receiving, is one of the areas that we tend to focus on, because as women, most women, let's face it, our capacity to give is typically very well developed. You know, we've been taught to give and give and give, and many of you give so much to your, if you have children or your families or aging parents or to the community or to your job or to the world at large. And oftentimes we give to the point that we can become depleted. And we have such a well-developed capacity that we can sometimes give to the point that it's actually detrimental. And this concept of overgiving sometimes can lap over into our love lives. And so when that happens, I've coined a phrase, I've given this idea a phrase called unholy giving. And I call it unholy giving because I believe that giving is a lovely feminine gift that we have. But if we give to the point that it depletes us, and to the point that we feel used, abused, and worn out and exhausted, and then what we give is not appreciated, then I think that lovely gift turns into something that we might call unholy. because it depletes the giver, in this case the woman, and is not fully appreciated by the receiver, which in this case might be a man if you're overgiving to a man. That can happen in a variety of ways. So what I'm saying here is that while it can feel a bit uncomfortable or unnatural or out of our comfort zone for us to receive what a man has to offer, what he has to give, it's important for us to have that awareness that that is part of what gives a man an opportunity to do something that allows him to receive that recognition and appreciation that he so longs for. And most masculine men, they need to feel like they're making a difference in the life of the woman that they love. And if they don't feel like they're making a difference, or they don't feel like there's an open position in her life where he can make a difference, then he's likely to move on. So one of the keys here to remember is that what makes you feel loved, cherished, and adored, which is typically when a man is doing really nice things for you, and he's showing up for you, and he's caring for you, and he's showing attention and concern for you, may not be the exact kinds of things that are going to make him feel admired, appreciated, and acknowledged, or in other words, kind of his version of feeling loved. So that was a mouthful, but one of the things that also was said in the man panel is your ability to be receptive, to take in and be receptive to what is being offered is one of the best gifts ever to a man, and we absolutely love it. Please understand we will never get too much of that. And I love this next piece. It says, when you say you like, appreciate, or even love what we did for you, it's like rocket fuel to a man, rocket fuel. I love that. And that was also by Ken Bechtel, by the way. I forgot to mention that. So I'm going to wrap up this piece soon, but I just want to say one other little thing about it. In the man panel, I also gave this basketball analogy, and I just want to mention it again briefly with a little bit more context. A number of years back here in Utah, in Salt Lake City, there was this powerful duo on the Utah Jazz basketball team, John Stockton and Karl Malone. And they are just one of basketball's great duos out there in the world. But because they're from the hometown team, I'm most familiar with them. And John Stockton, I'm not a huge sports fan, but I did have the opportunity to see them play and see them play live a few times. And John Stockton was like poetry in motion to watch because the way he moved the ball and moved down the court, there was just such grace, and he was very elegant in the way and skilled in the way he moved the ball. And then Karl Malone was a large man in stature, very competitive on the court, and you might say his maneuvers on the court were not nearly as graceful to watch. But he had the big body to block out the competition, and he wasn't afraid to throw an elbow, and you know, he just could kind of get in front of the basket and make these shots. And so many times in almost every game, John Stockton would move the ball down the court with his graceful prowess, and when he was in position, he would throw or hand off the ball to Karl Malone, who was closer to the basket, and Karl would then make the shot. So Karl would get all the cheers from the crowd, the credit for making the basket, but it was Stockton who set him up really nicely to do so. And I love this analogy in the context of women and men, because I think that we as women don't even know how powerful it is when we can set our men up, you know, whether it's a man you're dating, whether it's a man you're just getting to know, whether it's a man you're in a relationship with, we can set our men up to win, to make that shot. So they get the opportunity to do something, make the shot, and instead of getting the cheers from the crowd, they get that acknowledgement and that recognition and that appreciation from the woman, and it creates a win-win scenario. It's still points on the board for the team. It's just you kind of get to help facilitate and help him win. And there's so many ways that you can do that, which is why, like I mentioned once already, a big part of my work with my clients is centered around this G system of grace, ease, and elegance, because I believe that you as a woman get to enjoy your interactions with men and have so much more fun dating and exploring romance with them if you're learning some of these skills that help you navigate the world of dating and men out there with this grace, ease, and elegance. And I just want to mention quickly before we go into our Q&A portion here that for those of you that are upgrading to the VIP package, and thank you so much to those of you that already have, you'll also get, in addition to all of the recordings of this event, both audio and video, you're also going to get 12 recordings from last year's Man Panel, which were the listener favorites. And then you're also going to get this really cool course that I did, which is called Meet Him and Keep Him. It's a 5-part home study course. And in that, I go into much more detail about how you can start implementing these graceful, easy, elegant moves into your day-to-day interactions with men, both online and the internet, make your dating experience online more positive and offline and just in your general life. And then in addition to that, you're also going to get to join me for a very juicy workshop in September, which is called Meet a High Quality Man. And in that workshop, we're going to be going deeper with some of the ways that you can create more opportunity for yourself to see and be seen by high-quality men and be that kind of woman that invites the right men into your life from a place of grace, ease, and elegance. And a question that has come up, and I just want to address this really quick, is that there's a bonus for a one-on-one session with me, and I initially planned on doing this for only the first 37 people. However, those filled up really fast. In fact, they were gone before the event actually even started. And so I've literally opened up my calendar for the next few weeks so that I can accommodate you, because I really want to speak with you about where you've been in your love life, where you'd like to be, what might be slowing you down, and we'll map out a path forward for you. So I'm still going to honor that bonus if you choose to get the VIP package before the event special expires in just a few hours. What's going to happen is after we finish up tonight, we'll be sending out a replay. It'll be on replay for just a few hours, and then the event pricing will expire, and the price will go up by $100, which, by the way, that's still an incredible value, but you may as well get it now. So if you haven't already, take a look at it. Decide if it's for you. This is the best time because you can save $100. Scroll down on the page you're listening from or go to themanpanel.com/VIP. Because I can tell you, if you want a loving, committed relationship with the man that is just right for you, I want you to have this package, because there is, as Marcia so kindly said in her comment, there are absolute pearls in here that I just don't know where you're going to get from anywhere else, because where are you going to get literally this many conversations directly from men advising you about what they want and need and what's going on with them, and specifically, in their words, what's going to help you have more success with them. So I look forward to connecting with all of you in that respect, those of you that are choosing the VIP package. And either way, I'm so grateful that you're here, and I'm so grateful that you've joined us for the series. So, Wendy, we got to get to some questions now.
Yeah.
Because we have some juicy ones, and our time is going so fast. Wendy and I joked before we started today because we both have so much that we want to share with you. And so
we
much
could talk to you
like
for hours, like 5 hours.
We could talk for hours, but maybe you'd hang up on us by then. So we
probably
won't.
For sure you would.
Okay, so Wendy, I'm going to lead off with this question from Eileen, and thank you again for all of you that have submitted questions. We really appreciate it. I think this is a really great question, and I love that Eileen asked this. She said, hang on, can't read my own papers here, printed this out, bear with me. She says, how do I tell the difference between a man who is just being a caring male that always wants to make women happy and a man that is doing caring and protective and supporting gestures because he's interested in me? Then she says, is it appropriate that I directly ask him or just wait to see or tell him that I reach or tell him that I am interested in him before he tells me? In the past, I have misinterpreted men's caring as being romantic, and then the relationship ends as they run away fast. Any suggestions? Wendy, do you want to lead out on that one?
Yeah, I would do what suits your personality and feels better for you. So if waiting works for you, wait. I would never be able to do that. So I would probably start with something like, wow, so I have an awkward question for you, right? It's because it's awkward. You might be misreading it, right? Excuse me. And then just ask, hey, I have an awkward question for you. You're really great with me. And I'm wondering, do you feel anything romantically or did I misjudge that? And then they can answer. And whatever way they answer, you can say what there is to say from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in a lot of cases, you know, one of the things that I was going to share that we didn't have time to is that I think a man often tells you a lot more than we as women sometimes hear in things that he says or in ways that he shows up. So, you know, he, for example, he may have made a comment about how he's just getting back into dating and it's going to take him a while before he's ready to settle down again. I mean, that's a pretty obvious one. But
mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they'll tell us things even more subtly than that through their words or through their actions that will really tell us a lot about their intentions. I also think most men show up a little differently with someone that they're romantically interested in than someone that they're interested in being more of a friend with. Like, I mean, there are guys that will put the physical moves on a woman that they're not romantically interested in, but a lot of guys that are really just interested in being friends with a woman, they're not going to be making the moves, you know, to try to be closer with you physically. And I also think some guys that are romantically interested are more likely to be wanting to see you and take you out on dates, you know, not just kind of hanging out. And, I mean, there's no hard, fast rules here. There's no absolutely one right way or wrong way to do it. As Wendy said, you know, it's somewhat determined by your comfort level. You don't have to come right out and say, what are your intentions? You can even say something as honest as what you said in this question, which is, you know, I've found that in my life, a couple of times I've kind of misinterpreted a man's kindness and his caring way that he shows up as something romantic when it hasn't been. And you can even say that with a little smile or laugh. And I just wanted to get that out there on the table because, you know, I'm just curious about whether that's the case with you. I mean, you could just be that honest. I'm like a really big person on just being transparent. Because I think there's something really, really endearing about being real instead of trying to do this elaborate dance of how to figure out all these things or dancing around the issue.
I agree.
Okay, that's a good one. It can be confusing at times. Okay, let's see. Here's the next one. Let's see. This is a good one, too. This is from Sherry. I would like some advice on how to have the difficult conversation of no longer wanting to go out. What is the best way to respectfully end things after one or two dates, after dating one or two months, when there are no big issues, but you just don't see a future together and he does? Do you want to go first, Wendy, or you want me to?
Yes, I'll jump in. Okay, so if it's just a date or two, you don't owe them very much, so you can say something like when they say, hey, such a great date, want to go out next Saturday? You can say, oh, thank you so much for asking. You know, I don't think we're quite a fit, but it was really great to meet you, so have a good life. And you could replace that word fit for match, No, thank you so much for asking. I don't think we're quite a right match for each other, but have a great night. There was a line that men have given me over and over that they say really works, but I can never do it because it just feels painful to me. But men say, no, it's great. We get it. And I'm going to tell you the line, but I'll probably stammer because I could never do it. But saying, okay, hold on, let me just see if I can conjure it up. I blocked it. Hold on here. It's something along the lines that, oh, I don't feel enough of a connection with you. I can do it. But men say they get, I don't feel enough of a connection with you, because sometimes they don't feel enough of a connection with her. Another thing that you can say if you've been dating them for a little while and you just see that you're not a fit because maybe you don't have a future that matches his future. Maybe you want children, he doesn't. He wants children, you don't. You want to travel, he can't leave for more than 4 days without losing his company, like that, right? So you could say, it's been really great getting to know you, and I can see we don't have a matching future. Or you could call out whatever deal breaker that you see. Yeah, like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that I will say here is that I think less is always better when it comes to ending something. In other words, you don't want to get into a big, long, drawn-out conversation and avoid the temptation of telling him all the things that are wrong with him if you've determined that things are wrong or are wrong about your match. Those kinds of things either tend to create really bad feelings, or he might even argue with you or try to convince you otherwise. So I think this is a situation where less is better. That having been said, I do think wherever possible you want to end a relationship with respect and with as much kindness as possible. And that kindness also is kindness to yourself, meaning that it's not kind to yourself to stay in a situation where you're really uncomfortable or you really know that this is not going to lead you to where you want to be. So the kindness is for him and respect for him, but it's also for yourself. One line that came from an Oprah magazine years ago that I absolutely love and I've recommended to my clients is very similar to what you said, Wendy, and it goes something like this. First, you know, you say the nice thing first. You know, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know you a little bit and the time we've spent together. What I've decided, though, is that I just don't think we have that indescribable something that would lead for us to be a long-term match, that would lead us to be a long-term match. But I thank you so much, and I wish you all the best. So I love this idea of indescribable something, because that gets you off the hook from having to say why. If it's an indescribable something, you don't have to even say, well, it's because you smoke and I don't. I mean, you don't have to say anything like that. You can just say, I just don't sense we have that indescribable something that would lead us to be the best long-term match. So there we have it. Okay.
Very good.
Let's see here. We had a couple of questions that are kind of similar to this, which is kind of the idea, you know, the big question is, am I really ready to go out there and meet someone and find love? And in fact, one of these women actually wrote in about her daughter. It was Kim. And she's talking about her daughter who is afraid to date. She doesn't think she feels attractive enough. She's put on an extra 20, 30 pounds in the last year. It's becoming a vicious cycle. She's pretty, and I think she can still attract guys, but she doesn't seem to want to try out of fear of rejection. Do you have any specific advice for women who are afraid to date? And then she says, I think she has a fantasy guy in mind whom she would feel immediately smitten with, and rejects my admonitions that physical attraction grows when you feel loved and cared for. Anyway, she says she's in a successful marriage, but she's asking for her daughter. And along those lines, while we're taking that one, this is a little different theme, but kind of the question is the same. She says, after doing lots of growth, increasing my self-worth, seeing realities and lessons learned from my previous three on-again, off-again relationship and finding peace during those quiet months alone, how do I know when it's a good time to try again? Honestly, the quiet and emotional peace feels nice, yet I do want to partner and share my life. I'm 55 and divorced for 6 years. So we have two different scenarios there, but they're both kind of asking similar things. Are they ready to date? Should they date? What if they're afraid to date? What if it feels pretty comfortable to stay in the status quo?
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
I think I have a sense of where you're going to go here.
Yeah, you're ready to date when you're in good enough working order, that you have something to give someone, that you're not so hurt. Well, we already talked about earlier, and I won't rehash what we've already talked about, that you've healed whatever piece you've healed, that you can see the new person in front of you as a new person instead of that guy who's going to be a jerk just like the other ones. And that you could see that new shiny person as a new shiny person instead of some version of your past. You are ready to date when the urge for, like she had mentioned, she's been single a long time, that urge to partner overrides the urge for your independence and solidarity. I loved all the benefits of being single for the decade that I was single, and as a kind of approaching middle-aged woman that decade, I really loved all of the perks, but it was never worth it to me to stay single because I felt like I was underutilized. I had been married and I had been single, and for me, partnering was better. So once you have that sort of expression in your own body, in your own soul, in your own spirit, that it'll override being single, that's when you should go ahead because you have something to give. I would never wait till you're ready. Like all your ducks are in a row and you've lost the weight and you've done all the things and life is less busy, because dating itself can be fun, but mostly it's a pain in the ass. It's a means to an end to get to where you want to get to with your partner. So waiting to be excited about all of the fun and pleasure in dating all the time is like waiting for that to happen with working out. Sometimes it's great. The endorphins are lovely. And yeah, a lot of the times it's, let's just be honest about it, it's not what everybody's excited to do. So that's what I think about that. And then let me speak really quickly about the daughter who has put on 20 more pounds. If I had waited to lose the weight, I would still be single. I would never have gone on 121 first dates if I had waited to lose the weight. And we conjure up this idea that there is an ideal person for us, and he will only like us when we are ideal ourselves. When we are at our ideal weight, when we're at our ideal circumstance, that's when we'll attract our ideal man. And that he would never consider us if we were less than perfect ourselves. And it's so some women will wait to lose a weight, but what if she never loses a weight? Is she just going to be single? But maybe let's just give faith that she will lose a weight. I have faith that she's going to lose the weight. So she puts herself on this diet, and she goes to the gym, and she loses the weight. And right when she's like 2 pounds away from her ideal weight, she'll go online to find that perfect guy. And then she meets him. Do y'all know what happens when you date? He takes you out. You start courting, and you're having delicious restaurant experiences and midnight milkshakes and long talks, and before you know it, that 2 pounds away turns into 7, and now you're all freaked out that the perfect one isn't going to like you because you were almost there, but you're not there now. You're further away. Don't freak yourself out. Just go date exactly how you are, and the right one for you will come. And when you put on the extra 5 pounds from the midnight milkshake because you're his type, where we started, he's going to like you. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's beautifully said, Wendy. And I just have a couple little things that I want to add to this one because I think this is so important. First of all, dating falling in love, being in love, being married, being in a relationship is an act of courage. It is. It's an act of courage and it's an act of faith because we are being vulnerable in ways that we're perhaps not used to being vulnerable when we're in a relationship with someone, especially a man, because he thinks differently than we are and he's different. He's built differently than we are physically. He operates differently than we do. And also, we have our hearts open to him. We're in love with him in ways that make us really vulnerable. It takes a lot of faith and courage. Now, that having been said, as Wendy also mentioned from all of the man panels that she's listened to, self-confidence is incredibly attractive. And we sometimes as women feel like in order to have self-confidence that we have to be perfect. But as you know, we've jokingly said before, Wendy, my little ducks have never marched in a row. They're always wandering off everywhere. And if we waited until everything was perfect or we felt like we had everything in order in our life and our body weight was perfect and our house was immaculate and whatever else might be on your list, then none of us would ever find love. So the good news here is that although it's an act of courage and an act of faith, you don't have to be perfect in order to have delicious, yummy, wonderful, amazing love in your life. So that's one thing. Then the other thing that I would say, if it's been a while and you're afraid, or you're feeling older and you're afraid, or you've been hurt and you're afraid, yes, taking care of yourself in terms of the healing is important, but don't wait too long, because there's an amazing world of people out there. There are amazing men out there, and there's one out there that would just love to be spending his life with you. And I guess because I've very directly faced my own mortality in going through this cancer journey, I feel this sense of urgency, not only now about my own life, but I feel it for you too. So I don't want you to wait too long and hide behind all of the, you know, reasons, which otherwise might be called excuses, that you can't go out there and start exploring now. And I'm just going to say one other thing about this. With some of my clients who are in this situation that we're talking about, where they're reticent or feeling cautious or feeling afraid, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing proposition here. Like, what I'm saying here is you don't have to go all in and try to go on 5 dates a week. I mean, what if you just started taking little baby steps? You know, what if you just started putting yourself in social situations where you might have the opportunity to meet someone new or interesting, in situations that were new but maybe put you a little out of your normal routine, but where you still felt very safe? Or what if you just started taking baby steps in creating a really inviting profile? And again, if you're going to be doing the VIP package in my course, Meet Him and Keep Him, I tell you exactly how to do this, how you can start using the online sources in ways where you can start being a little bit more of the chooser and just start exploring some of getting to know some men out there and just start doing some baby steps and see if you get some momentum. Because I'm really big in honoring your natural feminine energy. And so to me, that means that you don't have to do this in a hard-driving, super strategic, super structured way. That having been said, I encourage you to start at least exploring the idea of maybe taking some baby steps, and don't wait too long. Because at the end of your life, one of the best things you might have ever done for yourself is to find that wonderful, amazing love that you've always dreamed of. That's one of the things that you can be sure you're going to look back on if that happens for you, and you're going to be so glad that you did that. So those are my two bits about that. Anything you want to add on that, Wendy, before we wrap up?
Nope.
Okay. Well, ladies, we have so many more questions, and I don't know, maybe we can do this another time, sometime in the future, something like this, a similar format. But our time is spent, and we want to be respectful of your time. And again, I just really want to thank my special guest tonight, Wendy Newman, for all of the gems of wisdom that she shared. Thank you, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, everybody,
and
for
also,
listening to us.
Yeah. We hope it's been valuable to you, and that's been our intention to serve you. And I really want to thank each of you, and again, really appreciate you for being who you are and for your presence with us here tonight and really for being a part of the Man Panel series, because you're to be commended, because it says something really complimentary about you, that you're the kind of person that is really open-minded and open-hearted enough to receive and take in and consider and listen to all of these men and what they have to offer and the gifts that they have to share. And it's been my privilege to be with you. I look forward to connecting with you in other ways moving forward. And thank you so much for being part of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.